Today's daf is Chulin Daf Tes Zayin, and we are two lines from the top of Daf Tes Zayin Amid Aleph. So at the end of yesterday's daf, we learned the Mishnah on Daf Tes Vav Amid Beis. The Mishnah said, Hashoichet b'magol yad b'tzor u'bekana shchitasek shera. If somebody shechts using the smooth blade of a hand sickle, or if he uses a tzor, it's a stone, or bekana, or a reed, shchitasek shera. The Gemara was medayik, it sounds like tzor and kana are only shchitasek shera b'di'evet. But likat chila, it's not okay for somebody to shecht with a tzor or a kana. And the Gemara asked the kasha, v'remini, the Brisa says, b'koil shoichten, likat chila, b'im b'tzor, b'im b'schuches, b'im b'krumah shal kana. And to answer the kasha, the Gemara made an akimt in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is talking about a tzor and a kana that were mechuber l'karka, meaning a tzor and a kana that are polished, that are detached from the ground, that's b'koil shoichten, even likat chila. When the Mishnah says, shchitasek shera, ha-shoichet, that it's only b'di'evid, it's talking about when it's mechubra. And the Gemara digressed from there and said that whether or not it's okay to shecht with something that's mechubra lekarka or not is really a machloikis, Rebbe and Reb Chiya. Rebbe says that it's not okay to shecht with mechubra lekarka. Reb Chiya said, and after the Gemara analyze Shitas Reb Chiya in depth, that it's okay even likatchila to shecht with mechubah lekarka, which left the Gemara with a shayla. If that's the case, mani masnisin, who is the Tana of the Mishnah? You're telling me that the reason it's only okay b'di'evit to shecht b'tzor b'kana is because it's mechubah lekarka. We know of two Shitas, Rebbe and Reb Chiya, as it relates to Shitas Chulim b'mechubah lekarka. Shitas Rebbe is it's possible b'di'evit. Shitas Reb Chiya is that it's kasha likatchila. The Mishnah seems to be taking an in-between stand. Is Mani Masnisen. It's Le Reb Chiya, it's Le Rebbe. And to answer this kasha, the Gemara said to Yisoy, that even Rebbe that says that it's not okay to shecht with mechubah lekarka, meaning it's possible the Evid, Hani Mili, that's only if it was mechubah meikara. So something that was attached to the ground in its natural state. So a reed that grows from the ground, that's never been detached, that type of kana, which is mechubah lekarka, would be possible the Evid. An Evid that's part of the ground, to shecht with that would be possible the Evid. If, however, you have something that's mechuber, but it was previously talosh, it was only ula b'soif chibra, it's over there, that it's going to be a problem, the katchila, it's going to be kasha b'di'evet. In other words, when the Mishnah said, ha-sheichet b'tzur u'bekana shchitasek shera, clearly implying that it's only kasha b'di'evet, ha-cha b'mayaskinan, where it was talosh, ula b'soif chibra, the Tana, the Mishnah, is Rebbe, who holds that mechuber is a problem. If it was mechuber me'ikara, it would be a problem even b'di'evet, being that it was talosh ula b'soif chibroi, it's for that reason it's going to be only a problem lekatchila, but b'di'evid hashoichet b'tzur u'bekana shchitasek shera. That's an important introduction because this is going to be the topic of the majority of today's daf. So in the course of discussing our Mishnah and this machloikis Rebbe and Reb Chiya, the Gemara brought several braises. One of the braises said, amamar hashoichet b'muchni shchitasek shera. If a shoichet takes a knife, he sticks it, he affixes it to a wheel, he then turns the wheel, and by turning the wheel, he was able to do a perfect shchita. Roiv of Beis Simonim with a behema, roiv of Simon Echa with a knife. The Braisa said, the shchita is going to be okay. Vatanya, Frank, the Gemara, we learned that the Braisa, shchita, soy psula, the Gemara, like kasha, habis sarna de pachra, habis sarna de ma'at. You have to say that there's different types of wheels. Literally, sarna de pachra is the wheel that the smiths used to use. Sarna de maya is a wheel that was powered by water. The point is that if it's a wheel where as you're turning the wheel, you're causing the knife to do the shechita, then we say that despite the fact that the knife is in the wheel, it's still going to be okay because it's your koyach that caused the shechita. If, however, you have a wheel that's not powered by man, but rather it's powered by water, so even though you're the one who caused the water to cause the wheel to start moving, but we look at your act as a grama. You're not the one that's actually turning the wheel. It's the water that's turning the wheel. Being that it's a nice a grama ba'alma, it's not going to be considered a shechita. V'ibay, the same as the Gemara, haba haba sarna de maya. Both braises could be talking about a wheel that's being powered by water, like kasha, haba koyach rishon, haba koyach sheni. The braise that says shechitasek shera, that's talking about that as you did your act to cause the water to make the wheel turn, That's when the shechita took place. So being that it happened immediately after you caused the water to make the wheel turn, so even causing the water to make the wheel turn is considered koyach rishon. It's not considered a maisa grama. If, however, you caused the wheel to turn and then an hour later the sakin that was in the wheel did the shechita, that's already viewed as a koyach sheni. That's going to be considered a maisa grama. Being that it's a maisa grama, it's not going to be considered shechita. Says the Gemara, Chiyodam Rapapa. And an analogy to this distinction between koyach rishon and koyach sheni is something Rapapa once said in a completely different context. Hi, man, the kosvi l'chavre, v'ashkala, bidgirimaya. So somebody wanted to take his friend out. So what he did was he tied him up, he put him next to water. The water was being blocked, rushing water, by a wall. He then punctured a hole in the wall, caused the water to go through the wall, and it ended up killing this person. So Rapapa said a chiddush. He said chayev, that even though this person never put a bullet in his friend's head, but at the same time, being that he did an act that, albeit somewhat indirectly, caused Chavre to die, that's enough for him to be Chayev Misa. And Rapop explained it. He said, because Giri Didehu Dahani Bey, at the end of the day, it was his Misa, albeit not a Misa in the person that he killed, but the Misa of puncturing a hole in the wall, causing the water to rush through the wall and eventually kill this person, that's enough for it to be viewed as a Koyach Rishon. We don't look at him as Grama, thus he's going to be a Shayfich Tamim. But Rapapa immediately qualified it. He said, "Hani with the Koyach Rishon, Ava Koyach Sheni Grama Ba'amu." What is Koyach Rishon, Koyach Sheni? So Rashi says, if the person was right next to the water, so then again, we look at it as if you're puncturing the hole in the wall, caused the water to kill this person immediately. If the person was tied down, but he was somewhat distant from where the wall was and from where the water was, dear, the halacha is already going to be different. Bottom line is, what you see from Rapapa is this chilek, that sometimes an act can be viewed as koyach rishon, sometimes it can be viewed as koyach sheni. If it's koyach rishon, we're miyaches the act to the person. If it's koyach sheni, we look at it as a grub ma'alma, and as a result, it's going to be governed by dine grama. So this gemara is a chiddush, because what you see in this gemara is that just like there's a concept of grama ben azakin, for example. So everybody knows that if Reuven's mazik Shimon, he's a chayva b'chaver. What if Reuven does something that causes Shimon to be nizik, meaning he wasn't directly mazik him, grama ben azakin? So it's a gemara right in the beginning of there's a concept of grama. What you see over here is that the laws of grama relate not only to nezakim but also to shvichas damim. That was Rapapa's halacha. So if somebody kills somebody b'derech grama, he's going to be pater midinei adam. He's also chayim midinei shemayim, by the way. But he's going to be pater midinei adam. And this is really a sugya in perek hanisrofim in Masechta Sanhedrin. But the point is, just like you have grama ben ezakin, you have grama ben shvichas damim, and you see in this gemara that you also have grama as it relates to shechita. So if somebody shechts where we deem the maisa shechita as an act of grama, it's going to be a shechita psula. And that's the brisa that says hashechet b'muchni shechitas psula. It's talking about where the shechita happened with a wheel, where even though you caused the wheel to turn, but we look at it as koyach sheni, thus it gets classified as a maisa grama. Grama b'shchitas chulin is shchitas haipsula. If, however, you did it in a way where we don't look at it as a grama, we could look at it as a koyach rishon over there, it's going to be okay. And that's the brisa that said, hashoychet b'muchni shchitas haikshera. So as mentioned, the primary topic of the daf, the Gemara portion of the daf, is going to be the halachos of someone who shechts chulin b'mechuber and someone who shechts chulin with something that was once talush and later you were mechaper. It says the Gemara, Yosef Rav, Achleiru de Rab Chiyo, V'Rab Chiyo Kame de Rebbe, V'Yosef Rebbe, V'Kama. So Rebbe essentially was giving shir, and his two great Talmidim, Rav and Rab Chiyo, were sitting in front of him. And Rebbe said as follows, Minayin lo shchita shi betolosh. How do you know that shchita's chulin has to be done with a davar talosh? So after learning all these Gemaras and Brises this way and that way in our Mishnah, we don't have a makar. How do you know that shchitas chulin has to be with a davar that's talish? Why is something that's attached to the ground puzzle for shchitas chulin? So Rebbe said as follows, sometime from a pasuk, Shenema vayikach asa macheles lishchoit, that Avram Avinu took the knife and he was going to shecht his son Yitzchak. And it's mashma, if the pasuk says vayikach asa macheles, he took it, it sounds like it wasn't attached to the ground. And from here we learn, it's a binyanav to all shchitas, that shchita always has to be done with something similar to a macheles. It has to be done with something that's detached from the ground. Amalei Rav the Rab Chiyo. So Rav and Rav Chiya hear what Rebbe says. So Rav turns to Rav Chiya, he says, my kama. He says, I don't understand. Amalei, so he told him, I agree, I don't need to understand. As a matter of fact, he told him, vav diksiva ufsa kamar. There's so many holes in what Rebbe's saying. Imagine writing the letter vav on the bark of a tree. So because of the ridges in the tree, so it's going to be a very not smooth vav. There's going to be many holes in the vav. So pun intended, Rav Chiya told Rav, there are many holes in what Rebbe is saying, because there's no way that this pasuk vayikach es hamacheles lishchoy could be the makar from where we know that you're not allowed to shecht chulin with fake the gemara vakrokama. What, Rebbe made up a pasuk, and how are you going to understand the pasuk? I mean, why is the pasuk not a good makar? So the Gemara says, "Krazi rusad Avram kamash mulam," because the pasuk doesn't necessarily mean that it had to be a machelas. What the pasuk is coming to say is that Avram Avinu took a machelas because he wanted to be prepared. He didn't want to show up at the akedah and then realize, you know, I don't have a machelas. How am I going to do the shechita? Maybe he could have done it with a rock that was attached to the ground. Maybe Avram Avinu could have done the akedah with a kana that's attached to the ground. But at the end of the day, Avram Avinu wanted to make sure that he was going to, and that's why he took the machelas. So vayikach as a machelas is teaching me rizusei d'Avram. But it's not teaching me a halacha that the only time you could do shechita is with something that's detached from the ground. We'll get back to this one. Something that was once detached and now is attached to the ground. So do we look at it as a davar talush, or do we look at it as a davar mechuba? So Rava said as follows. It's pasha to me that as it relates to the laws of avodah zarah, we treat it as talush. If somebody bows down, he to his own house. So a person makes his house his getchka, his avodah zara. So the halacha becomes aser b'hana, like avodah zara. Now, freak rav of isol gadai dechavi mechuber lechura, a house is mechuber, but it was talush once, right? The bricks and mortar of the house were once detached from the house, and now they're attached to the house. But if you're going to tell me that being that it's a l'basayv chibrei, we look at it as mechuber, eloheyem halaharim v'lo yaharim eloheyem. This is avodah zara 101. We all know that something that's mechuber can't be treated as avodah zara. So Rava said, how could it be a mishtachav el abaya shaloi has a din of avodah zara? It's mechuber lekarka. What do you have to say? That it's true, it's mechuber now, but it was once talush. And talush ulebesayv chibrei, as it relates to the laws of avodah zara, has a din of talush. So Rava said, as it relates to hilchas avodah zara, pshitali, it's pasha to me, that talush ulebesayv chibrei is treated as avodah zara. Again, is treated as talish. How do I know that it's a Mishnah? Hamashtachav l'bayi shalai yasroi, linyan hechshiz ram tanahi. Rava continued, he said, as it relates to the laws of machshirim, I know that it's a machloikis tanah. So just before we see this next halacha, a little bit of background. So what is the idea of machshirim? In order for food, peiros, to become tameh, they first have to be wet. So they have to become wet. Once they're wet, they're mukhshal l'kabel tumah. If afterwards a sheretz or some other form of tumah comes in contact with it, it's going to be tumah. Additionally, you need that when the fruit became wet, the person, the owner of the fruit, was happy with it. Either he put the water there, or at the very least, he had nichusa. When he saw it, he was okay with it. It has to be ki yutan dum yudikiyite. But the point is that if it became wet and he's not happy with the fact that it became wet, it doesn't become mukhshal l'kabel tumah. Another chiddush. What would happen if it's raining outside and the person's very happy it's raining because he wanted some part of his property to become wet. And then later that water landed on his fruit. There was no nichusa for the fruit per se to become wet, but he was very happy with the fact that it was raining because he wanted the water. Even though there was never a positive nichusa that I'm happy that my fruit are getting wet, but as long as he's happy that something's getting wet, he's happy with the water that's coming down right now because he has some need for it, some benefit from it. Even though his benefit, his nichusa, is not specifically, it's not pointedly related to the fruit itself, that's enough to constitute nichusa that the peiros are now going to be hukshal and kabel tumah. And one final thing that we need as a hakdama, and that is the only time that's true, is if the thing that's getting wet that he's happy with is talush. But if the thing that he's happy with, that, oh, I'm so happy it's raining because I want my field to be watered, mean that your field is mukhubal karka, that would not constitute nichusa, so that if later your peiros become wet with that water that you were happy with, they would be mukshal lekabel tuma. So with that background, says the Gemara, it's a Mishnah. Koifin kara la koisa b'shul shetudach. It was raining outside, and somebody took a ka'ara, he took a plate, and he put it on his wall because he wanted the ka'ara to become wet. And then later, after the ka'ara got wet, the water flowed, let's say, from the ka'ara onto his peiros, and now his peiros became wet. Harei zeh b'chiyutan. The halacha is the peiros are now going to be mukshal lekabel tuma because the peiros got wet, and he was happy with the water, even though he wasn't necessarily focusing on the peiros becoming wet, but he wanted his ka'ara. It was dirty, he wanted it clean, he was very excited that water was falling on the ka'ara. That constitutes nechusa, so that right now, when the peiros become wet, the halacha is mukshal lekabel tuma. Let's say he put a ka'ara on top of the koisel, not because he wanted the ka'ara to get wet, but simply because he didn't want the koisel to get wet. He was using it to protect the wall. He didn't want the wall to get wet. Then if that water falls on peiros, the peiros are not going to be mukshal lekabel tuma, because he had no nichusa from the water. The reason he put the ka'ara there was not because he wanted the water to go on the ka'ara, it's because he wasn't happy with the water. He was just trying to protect the wall to the best of his ability. But the Gemara asks Akasha, Hugufa Kasha, Amrit, the Resha, the Mishnah said, Bishful Sheh Tudach, Hareze Bichiyuta. The Mishnah said that if the person wanted the water to go on the ka'ara, so he put the ka'ara on the wall because he wanted the water to go on the ka'ara. Let's make a deal. What would be if this person didn't want the ka'ara to get wet, he wanted the wall to get wet? It sounds like that wouldn't be enough to constitute nichusa. Because if that would be enough, why do you have to put the ka'ara and the Mishnah making a kimta that you wanted the water to go on the ka'ara and it went from the ka'ara to the peiros? That's nichusa. Say better. Keep the story simpler. You can take out that one part of the story. Just say that it was raining. He was very excited. He wanted his wall to get wet, and then it went from his wall onto, it's mashma, that by landing on the wall or wanting the wall to get wet, that would not constitute kiyuta. But hadar tani, the problem is, what's the next part of the Mishnah? If he put the ka'ara because he didn't want the wall to get wet, that's not kiyutan. You can make the same deal in the reverse. It sounds like if you wanted the wall to get wet, I raise a bichiyutan. The point is, we have conflicting diyukim from the Reisha and the Seif and the Mishnah. What would be if it's raining, the water is landing on your wall, and you're very excited that your wall is getting wet, and then the water flows from the wall onto your peiros? Would that constitute nichusa, so that right now the peiros are hukshal lekabel tuma or not? The Mishnah gave us two extreme cases. We have a case where you put a plate on the wall and you want the plate to become wet, and then we have a case where you put a plate on the wall to protect the wall because you don't want the wall to get wet. What if I don't want the plate? What if I just want the wall? This seems to be a stira. Amar Rav Elazar, it is a stira. Tavra. There's no way to answer this. And Misha Shana Zul, you have to say the Reish and the Seifa do different tanu. Rapapa said no. Kulachatanu. Really, the entire Mishnah is one tan. We talk about two different types of walls. One's the wall of a cave, for example. This is a wall that's been there from Sheishes he made Bereishes. The other one is a wall that was man made. This is the way you read the Mishnah. If somebody puts a car on top of a wall, and the reason he put it there was is because he wants the ka'ara to get wet. Hareza b'chiyuta. So he has nichusa for the water. If the water now falls on the peiros, then hukshal lekabel tuma. Habish v'shul yudach ha'koisa is a b'chiyuta. Clearly implied that if you wanted the wall to get wet, not the ka'ara on the wall itself, then it wouldn't be mukshal lekabel tuma. But medvar mamur, when is that true? B'koisa ma'ara. That's if it's a wall that's been there forever. You know why? Because that wall is mechuber. Ne'ikara. It's attached to the ground. And if you have nichusa for something that's mechuber, for water to land on that, that's not considered nichusa as it relates to Masechtas Machshir. Avo b'koisel binyan. But what would be if it was a different type of wall? It was a man-made wall, even though it's mechuber, but it was taller shul b'soiv chavroi. B'shvil shilo yilakaha koisel hu de'ena b'chiyutan. It's only if you didn't want the wall to get wet that we say it's ena b'chiyutan. B'shvil shiyudachais, but if you did want the wall to get wet, hareza b'chiyutan. So the bottom line is, Rava said as follows. Rava said that as it relates to the halachas of avodah zarah pshitali, there I know for sure that talush shul b'sayv chavroi is nidik and talush. As it relates to Masechtas Machshirin, where there's a rule, where there's a halacha, that the only time peiros become mukshal lekabel tuma is if you were nicha on this water. But there's a halacha that the nichusa, although it doesn't have to be for the peiros itself, it has to be for a davar talush. What about talush shul b'sayv chavroi? How would I view that? How would I view that? It says Rava, Tanoihi, but really it's dependent on how you learn this Mishnah. But Rava said, what I'm not sure about is how would you view the halachis of Talush Lubasayv Chavroi the Inyan Shchita. In other words, presupposing that you can't shecht with something that's mechuber shitas Rebbe. You could shech with a davar talish. Vayikach asa machelas. So the question is, what if it was talish and now it's mechuber? Do I look at it as talish or do I look at it as mechuber? We addressed it in Hilchas Avodah Zarah. We addressed it, albeit with a complicated mishnah, in Masechtas Machshirin. What about what we're learning? Hakol Shoichten, as it relates to shchitas chulin, talish ulebesayv chaver. So Rashi says that Rava is machin zechnish visendig from yesterday's daf. Really, we had a whole daf yesterday with a brisa and a stira between two brises and a mishnah, right? So there was a lot of activity in yesterday's daf as it relates to this shaila. But Rava is coming as if yesterday's daf never happened, and boy, Rava's not sure what would be the halacha of talush ulebesayv chaver. Says the Gemara, "My Toshma, I'll bring you a raya," and the raya is going to be from the brisa that the Gemara brought on the very bottom of daf tes vav amidbeis. So it's kedai to see the brisa get inside. It's five lines from the bottom of tes vav amidbeis. The brisa had said, "Hashoichet b'muchni." That's what this morning's daf started with. Shchitasik sheir. Somebody sticks a knife in a wheel. Shech shchitasik sheir. B'muchubel akarka. Shchitasik sheir. Noat sakin bekoisel v'shochat ba. Somebody sticks a knife in a koisel and he shechts that way. Shchitasik sheir. Hayat zur yoytzim in a koisel. If there was a stone protruding from a wall, oikana oilam yelam, or there was a reed, v'shochat ba shchitasik pshul. And yesterday's daf Gemara asked the stira. The Gemara said the Reisha and the Sefer seem to contradict themselves, because the Reisha says if you shech with mechuber lekarka, it's okay. If you stick a knife into the wall, it's okay. It sounds like mechuber is kosher. And then it says if the tzur was yoytzim in a koisel or the kana was oilam yelam, it's shchitasik psula. And the Gemara said like kasha. One is talking about it was mechuber meikara. The other is talking about where it was talish ula b'soif chaver. But Rava is going to view this price a little differently. So Rava said, the price said that if a tzor, a stone, was protruding from the wall, so what does it sound like? It sounds like shchitasei psula. Assuming that when it says tzur yoytzim in akoysel, it means the tzur was once detached, it was talish, it was only a little bit saif chav, right? So you see clearly that it's possible. Is the brisa not a raya? That part of the brisa that talish little saif chav is possible. Where it says, no, hach my skin b'koysel ma'ara. Maybe we're talking about with a wall that's been there forever. The stone that's protruding has been there forever. It's not talish little saif chav, right? It's always been mechuber. The price going coin to Rebbe that something that's mechuber is possible. The point is, it has nothing to do with Rav Shaila. Dekanami, and it's mashman that way, says the Gemara. Diktani, because the price put two cases together. Dumya dekana oilam yelav. It mentioned tzur yoytzim in akoysel oikana oilam yelav. Kana oilam yelav, by definition, is something that was mechuber meikara. You ever read that grew from the ground? It was never talush. It was mechuber meikara. So just like kana oilam yelav was mechuber meikara, so too tzur yoytzim in akoysel is mechuber meilav as well. Tashma, Mara says it. Maybe I bring you a raya from a different part of the brisa. No, it's akim bekoysel. The brisa said if you stuck a knife into the wall, v'shachah v'shchitasik sheira. Why? L'chayra it's mechuber, and this was definitely once talush. Right, the sakin hasn't been there forever. You took the sakin, you were not at the sakin into the koysel, and now you shecht it. So isn't a mefurish raya to the reverse that if something was talush, ula b'sayv chibroi, it's going to be kosher. Mara says, shani sakin le mevatale. I don't know if sakin could ever be considered mechuber lekarka. It's never bottled to the wall. Being that it's not bottled to the wall, even if it's right now, quote-unquote, attached to the wall, we don't look at it in halacha as being mechuber. Says, Mara Tashma, I'll bring you a raya from the first part of the brisa. Bim mechuber lekarka, shchitasek sher. Ah, this is already checkmate, right? It says, ha-shoichet bim mechuber lekarka. So, it's something that's mechuber. It's the Lashon HaBrayis is mechuber lekarka. It says kosher. Obviously, we're not talking about what was mechuber meikara, because that's possible. That's the same bit of Brayis. So what does it mean, HaShoichet b'mechuber lekarka? Must be it was talish b'sayv chibroi. So here you have already a mefurish HaBrayis. Mara says, no, adoichik. Dilma perusha kam mefarish lo. My mechuber lekarka sakud lo mevatale. Maybe the way you have to read the Brayis is, HaShoichet b'mechuber lekarka shchitasoi ksher. Bamed varam amurim, where it never became bottle to the karka, for such as not sakin because of a shachatba. But if it became bottle, being that now it's mechuber, even though it was once talush, maybe we still view it as being mechuber. Thus, the halach is going to be, it's going to be possible. One more gemara, Omar ma, not sakin the koisel. Somebody stuck a sakin into the koisel. The shachav b'shchitasik sheir. Right, that was one of the things the brayse said. Amrav anu no mashmul loichon well shasakin lemaylov etzaver behemah. The only time this is okay is if you put the tzaver of the behemah, the throat of the behemah, is underneath the knife. Avol sakin lemato etzaver behemah lemaylov. But if the knife is going to be on bottom and the tzaver behemah is going to be on top, it's not okay. Chayshinon shemo yidroi. So one of the basic laws of Shechita that we didn't really speak very much about, but
there'll be plenty of these halachas right around the corner. And that is that when the shechit does shechita, he has to slit the throat of the animal. He has to take the knife and slit it, slice it, as opposed to press against it and use his force to sever the simanim. If you're going to put the animal on top of the knife, so then there's a chash that, being that the knife is it's attached to the wall, the force of the animal is going to press down on it, and what's going to happen is it's going to cause the knife to not slit the animal, but to forcefully sever it, which is a shechita psula. Thus, although it's okay to shecht if the sakin is attached to the wall, but you have to be a little bit more sensitive to not running into a hadrasa issue. And the way you're sensitive to that, the way you address it, is by making sure that the sakin is going to be lamaiva and the tzad of the hamel is going to be lamata. But if you're doing the reverse, it's not okay. Okay, sounds good, right? Says the Gemara, no. Vaktani, one of the, again, many brises that we had in yesterday's daf was bakol shechtin bein betolish bein mechuber, reading from yesterday's daf. So what did the Brisa say? You could shecht with tolish mechuber, and then it says it doesn't matter if the sakin is lemaila or the sakin is lemata. So lechura amarav zvid, let's start them tani. You have no choice but to say that the way you read the Brisa is as follows. It's not true bakol shechtin mechuber betalush, and whether it's mechuber or talush, the sakin could be lamailo lamato. But rather, the way you have to read it is bakol sheichten. That's fact number one. You could check with talush, you could check mechuber, but at this, and you could also check sakin lamailo sakin lamato. Stating that, not every permutation is going to work. The point is, sakin lamato vitzav behem lamailo works betalush. Sakin lamailo vitzav behem lamato mechuber. Rapapa said a different teretz, but if for the kolo, the brisa that says that you can use a sakin that's attached to the wall, and it doesn't matter if it's lamaila or lamata. We just said that you have to make sure it's lamata. You can't make it lamaila. When the bride says lamaila, so you're shechting an oif. Being that an oif is lighter than a behema, so the concern of hadrasa, that its force is going to press against the knife, isn't such a prevalent concern. Over there, it's going to be okay. So by a behema, you have to be worried about hadrasa. If, however, we're not dealing with a behema, you're dealing with an oif, over there, you don't have to be worried about hadrasa. 26 minutes. Exhale. We're going to finish the daf. But just before we go weiter, so we began, really, the topic of the second part of yesterday's daf, and the first part of this morning's daf is an idea that shechitas chulin needs to be done with something that's tall. So machlok is Rebbe and Reb Chiya, and there's an afgemina between talush al saif chibra, or something that was mechubim meikar, but the basic concept that there's a halacha that in order to shecht chulin, you have to use an instrument, something that is tolosh. But if it's mechuba lekarka, it's going to be a problem. And the Gemara told a story that Rebbe was giving shir, and Rav and Reb Chiya were sitting in front of Rebbe, and they were discussing this. This is Rebbe's halacha. Rebbe's the one that holds the mechuba's pasuk. And they were discussing, what's the makar? How do you know that something that's mechuber is not okay? And Rebbe said it's learned out from a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayikach asamacheles lishchait es benoy." And Rav turns to Reb Chiya and he says, "What did Rebbe just say?" And Reb Chiya says, "Oh, don't worry about it. He gave him a makar, but that makar has so many holes. Try to write the letter vav on the bark of a tree. The amount of holes you're going to have in the vav, that's how many holes there are in what's said." And this is, of course, Reb Chiya l'shitasa. Reb Chiya is the one that argues with Rebbe. Reb Chiya is the one that holds that you could shecht with mechuber, but Rebbe held it was a makar, and the makar was vayikach hasamacheles lishchait es benoy. Now, where does it say vayikach hasamacheles? That's of course by Akedas Yitzchak. Freik Tosfos, the obvious kasha. I mean, the kasha jumps off the page. Freik Tosfos, Akedas Yitzchak wasn't shechitas chulin. Akedas Yitzchak was shechitas kachim. The Gemara learns many halachas in Masechet Zvachim and Menachos from Akedas Yitzchak. So Freik Tosfos gevald. How could you learn a halacha that you need a dover talush to shecht chulin from vayikach es hamacheles? Vayikach es hamacheles is not shchitas chulin. It's shchitas kachim. Yitzchak Avinu had a din of a carbon oila. So yeah, you can learn from there that shchitas kachim has to be done with a dover talush. But how could you learn from there that shchitas chulin has to be done with a dover talush as well? And Tosfos is moisef tmiya al tmiyas. Tosfos says that we know the Gemara says in Masechet Zvachim, daf tzadik vav on the days, daf tzadik zayin amad aleph, that we learn from vayikach es machelas lishchitas benoy, that shchitas kachem has to be done with a keli. And if you don't have a keli, you can't do shchitas kachem. And some machlokes rishonim doesn't even have to be a kli sharis. Rabbeinu Ephraim, the first toisus of Perek Yezem Mekayim, and it's also toisus of Chulin Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. So these toisus are spread out throughout Shas, where toisus brings a big machlokes rishonim where the shchita needs to be done with a kli sharis, or shchita does not have to be done with a kli sharis. But that shchita has to be done with a keli, that's a gemara. It's zvachim. Tzadik vav amid beis. It's learned out from Vayikach as a machelas lishchitas benoy. And even though the pasuk is by a carbon oil, because Yitzchak Avinu had a din of a carbon oil, but it says zoysa atayr lo oil mincha lechatis ol shlavim. And the Gemara says, makish all the carbonis. Each carbon teaches a halacha to the other carbonis. What does oil teach? That you need shchita with a keli. Where do you know that? Vayikach as a machelas. That's Tosfos. We just learned the whole sugya. You don't have to use a keli to shecht chulin. That's clear you don't need. You could use a reed, you can use a stone. It doesn't necessarily have to be a keli. Clearly, because we don't learn from the pasuk Vayikach as a machelas that shchitas chulin has to be done with a keli. How could you learn from Vayikach as a machelas that it has to be talush and not learn from Vayikach as a machelas that it has to be a keli? And Tosfos says a teretz. Tosfos basically says that the Gemara's diuk that Vayikach Samacheles, as it relates to the halacha of Talish, again, Ayin Shom, I'm not going to go through the whole Tosfos, but Tosfos is basic, says that the Gemara's diuk was because it says Vayikach Samacheles Lishchot Es Benoy, and it doesn't say Vayikach Samacheles Lishchot Es Ha'oyva. It had the halacha of Macheles been, as it relates to the halacha of Talish HaMechover, that's why it's Ayin Shom, but it had, as it relates to Talish HaMechover, been specific to the Shechitas Kachin component of Akedas Yitzchak, so then it should have said Vayikach es hamacheles lishchot es ha'oilo, emphasize the fact that you need it to be talush because we're dealing with a carbon oil, because it's kachem. Being that it says lishchit es benoy, it sounds like it was the shchita that fathered the davar talush, and not the shchitas kachem, not the oil component that fathered the carbon oil. But just on this note, I thought it's kedai to digress for a moment. There's a real digression, and just mention one ha'ara, and that is a classic Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer is by the Parsha of the Akedah, and the Chassam Sofer asks many kashas. One of the kashas, the Chassam Sofer says that everybody knows that after Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avraham Avinu and he tells him, "Al tishach yodcha l'anarav, al tas lo'im u'umo, ki ati yedati ki yor elikim ata." So what Avraham Avinu do? Avraham Avinu wanted, Chazal say, to be matul mo. Rashi brings it. He wanted to make something. He was so oozy, he had so much, he was so ready to do this mitzvah that he felt he couldn't just let it go. There was so much potential energy that he felt that he had to bring it menakoyach el apoyo. So he says, "Let me just take the knife and let me make a little bit of a hole. Maybe a little bit of dam will come out of Yitzchak." And he was told, "No, I don't want that. Not even that. Al tishlach yotcha lanar val tasloy mo'uma. Don't do anything." So the Chassam Sofer, whatever Avinu want to do, what was going on over here? So he says a davar nifla. He says that we know that Yitzchak Avinu had kedushas oila. And even though that Kedah never played itself out, but he retained his Kedusha Zoyla. Chazal said that Yitzchak Avinu wasn't allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. He couldn't go to Chutz La'aretz. Rashi brings in a Chumash. Why? Because he was an Oila. He was Kodesh Kedoshim. And Kodesh Kedoshim, there's Psul Yotzei. There's certain Mechitzas when Kodesh Kedosh can't leave Dazar. He wasn't allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. He was never allowed to leave Chutz La'aretz. He had Kedusha Zoyla. Says the Chassam Sofer, because Yitzchak became an Oila, Avraham Avinu lost the son. He lost his son Yitzchak. He didn't die, but he lost him because he was niskadesh to such a level that he couldn't be miyachas to him anymore. He was kodesh kadashim. He was an oila. He didn't have him. And because he didn't have him, says the Chassam Sofer, Avraham Avinu wanted him back. So Avraham Avinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, "I can't do the Akedah. I hear. What should I do? Fafalin. I'm not going to be able to show you how much I love you and how much I'm willing to do for you by shechting my son. But then I want my son back." So you know what he said I want to do? I want to be matul mum. Matamum bekachim, you can be paid to the kachim. So what he wanted to do was he wanted to make a mum in Yitzchak so that now he should be able to be paid to the carbon oil. He should be able to be paid to Yitzchak, who is his oila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, "No, Yitzchak, you can't be paid to him. I want him to remain this way." Says the Chassam Sofer, and Yitzchak Tak remained this way. And because he remained this way, Avraham Avinu on some level lost his connection to his son Yitzchak. He says, that's why the pasuk says, "Ki bi Yitzchak yikar l'chazer." Because I was very bothered. Bi Yitzchak. It was Yitzchak, for like Kol Yitzchak, right? There's Gemaras that talk about this. But says the Chassam Sofer, it was through Yitzchak that Avraham Avinu had Zera, but Yitzchak himself wasn't Zaroi. The Chassam Sofer says, we all know the pasuk, Vashem Berach, Avraham Zokim Vabayomim, Vashem Berach is Avraham Bakol. Rashi brings the Gemara, but the Basra, different pshat than what Bakol means. One pshat in Bakol means, Bakol is Begematria 52, Bain is Begematria 52, it's a remez that Avraham Avinu had a son. And the Chassam Sofer says, you need a remez that Avraham Avinu had a son. Avraham Avinu had a son Yitzchak. He's a son Yishmael. We didn't need a remez that Avraham Avinu. Vashem Berech Avraham Bakol Beremiza. Zoktichsam Sefer. Because after the Akeid, Avraham Avinu lost Yitzchak. He didn't have Yitzchak anymore. He wasn't a son anymore. Beremiza. He had someone that to us looks like it was a son. So Bakol is Begematria 52. Ben is Begematria 52. So through this remez, Ben Benoy Shon Remez, pun intended, say he has a son, but really wasn't a son anymore. And that's why it's only Beremiza. Vashem Berech Avraham Bakol. It was through that he had a son. Chassam Sofer says that that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu twice in the process of the Akedah. Now I know you're Yor Likim. A few psukim later. Why do you have to say twice V'loi Chasachta? Says the Chassam Sofer, because there were two acts of Gevurah that Avraham Avinu showed at the Akedah. The first was the fact that he was willing to offer his son as a carbon, and the second was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, "Al tasleim u'uma, don't even make a mum. Zola bleiben an oyla. And even though you're going to lose your oyla, you're going to lose your son, Zol zayin, al tasleim u'uma." That was another act of gvura. That was the second time that it was V'loi chasachtes binchas yichidcha. I was thinking that, Makshim oylam, how is Avraham Avinu able to do the Akedah? As soon as Avraham Avinu was going to Shech Yitzchak, he was going to be an Oine. And if he was going to be an Oine, then an Oine is possible to do the Avodah. So we've spoken out from the Zayis Rana. That's the Magen Avram. Magen Avram says that that's why the Medrash says when Hashem comes to Avram and he tells him, I want you to bring my son to the Akedah. So what does he tell him? I want you to take Yitzchak for the Akedah. So Avram says, I'm not a Kohen. He says, don't worry about it. Everybody else, why do you have to be a Kohen Gadol? First of all, this was actually Hukam HaMishkan, where the Avodah was Tali in the Bechar. But the point is, why do you have to be a Kohen Gadol? And if he's a Kohen, right? Kohen's allowed to do the Avodah. Why do you have to be? So the Radal says, based on the Chazals that say that the Akedah happened on Yom Kippur, Sabi that was Yom Kippur, all the Avodah happens with the Kohen Gadol. That's where. But the Radal brings from the Zayis Ranan and his Pirish and Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Perek Lamed Aleph, Ayin Sham, it's Kedai to see. And he brings that the Magen Avram said, because Avram Avinu, as soon as he was going to Shech Yitzchak, was going to be an Oine. An Oine, it's possible to do the Avodah, with the exception of a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol is allowed to be Makriv Oine. He can do the Avodah even if he's an Oine. If you're a Kohen Gadol, you won't have the psul oinet. You don't have the psul oinet. Like this, you'll be able to do the Akedah. But if the Chassam Sofer is raid, maybe it's not fair. Because as soon as, what's that?
This happens afterwards.
But how's he going to do the Hakrova though? The second part, you're right. The Shechita is not a Kasha. The Haleil is the problem. The second part, that's true. Right, the Shechita itself, that's Bain Kechot. But like the Chassam Sofer is right, it's Gevaldik. Because as soon as Yitzchak was Neskadei Shoyla, it's only Vashem Berech HaSavram, Bakoil has the same gematria of Ben. It's only Beremiza Ba'alma. Maybe he wasn't Nesiachis to him anymore. If he wasn't Nesiachis to him anymore, so maybe it wouldn't be a Psoloine. It's not Psoloine, it's Gevaldik. The Kash is Miyoshim. Either way, another Gemara. Amar Rav Chizv, Amar Rav Yitzchak, V'amir Lobe Masis Otano. Hei Dvarim Nemru B'Krei Mishal Kana. There were five things that were said, five halachos that pertain to the stem of a reed. In Shechtenba, that's why we're talking about this now. You can't shecht with it. The Ein Malinba, you're not allowed to do bris mila with a reed, even though it technically has a sharpness to it. So in theory, it should be possible to do bris mila with it, but it's something that's not okay. Ve'im mechatchim ba'basa, you shouldn't even hack flesh with it. Ve'im mechatzim ba'shinayim, shouldn't use it as floss. Ve'im mekanchim ba, nor should you wipe yourself with it. We'll see what that means. It says the Gemara, ain't shaychtim ba. How could you tell me ain't shaychtim ba? V'tanya, we had enough braces. Ba'kol shaychtim, be'im betzor, be'im beschuches, be'im mekrei mishal kano. You see, you could use mekrei mishal kano. Rapapa, as Rapapa said, besimuna da'akma. When we've been discussing doing shchita with a Krei Mishal Kana, we mean a very specific type of reed. These are reeds that grow in marshlands. Those types of reeds are soft You don't have to worry about those reeds. It's the other types of reeds that you do have to worry about. Why do you have to worry about that? We'll see in a minute. So you shouldn't cut meat with it. Papa says, he used to cut the innards of fish, the zigi. And the reason is because, as we'll see, that the reason it's not poshut to do these things with reeds is because you're worried about splinters. You're worried that a little bit of it is going to come out and it can cause problems. But Papa felt that the innards of the fish, you were able to see, and as a result, you don't have to worry. If a little bit of the reed goes in, you'll pluck it out. It's not a problem. Rabbi Bar-Khanah Mechatech Ba'ufa, the rock, he used to cut oifos with it. And the reason is because the meat, the chicken, is a little softer than meat. And as a result, he felt that it's not going to cause the reed to shed, and as a result, it's not something you have to worry about. You're not allowed to be mekaneach with it, says the Gemara. So the Gemara is assuming that what means is that if somebody goes to the bathroom, gedoylim, so he shouldn't use the kanashal krimis to clean himself. Says the Gemara, you don't have to come on to the fact that the kanashal krimis may splinter as the reason why you can't be mekaneach with it. You can't be mekaneach with it anyways, because Chazal said that anything that's flammable, any dover or shaletes by shin of noishrois, and shin of is a euphemism, it means tissue in that area may somehow tear, and as a result, it's something that you anyway is not allowed to do. I'm Rapapas. Rapapas says, no, when it says v'imekanchen boy, it doesn't mean someone who's going to the bathroom. It means something completely different. It means somebody has an open wound. He shouldn't clean his open wound using this kana shel krimis. Either way, the Gemara said there are five things. Hey dvarim nemru b'kaimis shel kana. Ein sheikhtim ba, v'ein malim ba, ve'ein mechatchem b'basar, ve'ein mechatzitzim b'shinayim, ve'ein me'kanchem. What's the reason? So Rashi over here in the sugya says that the reason for all five of these halachas is the same. Because if you have a kanash al krimis, even though there's a sharpness to it, but there's a concern that it may splinter. And as a result, the splinter is going to, a little piece of wood or of the kana may go into the behema, it may go into your wound, to the makam hamila of the baby. So there's a concern, pashit mipnei hasakana, and as a result, Chazal said, hey, dvarim nemru, be'kroy mishol kana. The Beis Yosef in Yerideya, here in Hilchas Shechita, Simen Vav, brings that the Baal Ha'iter brings from a Yerushalmi, that's a different reason. That the reason, in sheikhtim ba, ve'im molim ba, ve'im mechatchim basa, ve'im mechatzim ba shinayim, ve'im mechatchim ba, but the one we need most is in sheikhtim ba, because we're learning Masechta Schulin right now, is not because of a sakana that you worried a little bit of the reed is going to go into the behema, but it's because there was a ruach ra that was shaira that rested and hovered on these reeds. And as a result, you don't want to do shechita with it. The reason not to do shechita is because of ruach ra. Beis Yosef brings this from the Baal Ha'iter. Says the Beis Yosef, I think it comes out of a very important afkimina lalacha between Rashi's pshat and why ain't sheikhtim ba, and between the Yerushalmi's pshat and ain't sheikhtim ba. According to Rashi, you're worried about a splinter. And Rashi says the concern is that maybe the splinter or the reed will cause a pgam in the simanim before you shecht it, and it's going to render the behema a treifa. Meaning there's a real concern in the kashrus of the shechita. Being that there's a concern in the kashrus of the shechita, b'dieved, if you would do it, the shechita would be pasal. However, according to the Tam of the Baal Ha'iter, who brings from the Yerushalmi, that is because of a ruach ra is an issue, but that's something that you only worry about on a lekatchila level. B'dieved, you don't worry about a ruach ra. So again, says the Beis Yosef, Rashi said that the reason in sheichtim ba is because you're worried that there's maybe something wrong with the shechita, that the kana may cause a pagam in the shechita, thus you may have a problem of a treifa. There may be a real issue here with this animal. Being that there may be an issue with the animal, it's not just something you have to be concerned about lekatchila, it's something that's an issue with the eved as well. According to the Yerushalmi, that says it's because ruach ra is a problem on the lekatchila level, ruach ra is not going to be a problem on the bidyas. It says the Beis Yosef, a very important afkimina lalocha between the two pshatim. There's a tshuva from the Shvus Yaakov. It's in Chelik Beis, Simen Kofhe. Shvus Yaakov was asked that it's Yodua, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that a person is not supposed to put food underneath his bed. So you're not supposed to sleep with food underneath your bed. And Pashim Shat, the reason is because of a Ruach Ra. So the Shaila was asked to the Shvus Yaakov, what about Bidi Yevet? Let's say somebody went to sleep and he had food underneath his bed. So do you have to throw out your food? Do you have to get rid of everything? Or Bidi Yevet, is it going to be okay? So it says the Shvus Yaakov, that at first glance, I have a very obvious sushtel. I have a Mefurish of Beis Yosef and Hilchah Shechitas in Advav. The Beis Yosef that was discussing this halacha of Ein Sheichtim Bekrei Mishal Kana. And this two pshatim that I brought down. Rashi, who says it may be a concern with the Shechita, and the Yerushalmi that the Bala Itur quotes that says that there's an issue of Ruach Ra. And the Beis Yosef said this very obvious Nafkimina. What happens B'di'evet? If there's a Chshash Shechita, then B'di'evet it's also going to be possible. If the Chshash is Ruach Ra, then B'di'evet it's going to be okay. So what do you see? That Ruach Ra is something we worry about on the Lekatchila level. It's not something that we worry about on the B'di'evet level. So says the Shvus Yaakov, what's the difference between the Ruach Ra of the Kanashal Kroimis that the Yerushalmi was talking about, Chulin Daf Tezayin Amadbeis, or the Ruach Ra that the Shulchan Aruch talks about in Yeridei, a Simin Kuf Tezayin, where he discusses the Ruach Ra, that Shaira on food, if somebody sleeps on top of food. So at the end of the day, it's a problem. Lekatchila is not a problem with you. But says the Shvus Yaakov that I believe that being that we're dealing with Sakana and Chamira Sakante Meisura, Chulin Daf Yod, so I think we have to do a little better. I'm not comfortable issuing a kula for a davash al sakana without finding a more tangible source. So do we have a source anywhere? Bavli, Yerushalmi, can we find a source somewhere that if somebody sleeps with food underneath his bed, b'di'evet it's okay to eat the food? So says the Shvus Yaakov to have a gemara. A mefurish gemara. It's a Talmud Bavli. It's a Masechtas Bava Basra. It's a Perek Cheskes Abatim from all places. The very end of Cheskes Abatim. Nobody gets that far. Less you learn Daf Yomi. So the Gemara Bava Basra, Daf Mechesem and Aleph, says as follows. The Gemara says that one of the ways to know the difference between a Talmud Chacham and an Amma Aretz is by looking at his bed. Mita she Talmidei Chacham Ketzat. Kol she ein tachter. If you look at the bed of a Talmud Chacham, all you're going to find is a pair of shoes. Underneath his bed, he's going to have shoes. He has his regular shoes during the winter, and he has his sneakers during the summer. But that's it. That's what you're going to find. You're going to find a pair of shoes. Right? Sandalin b'maysacham, u'menalin b'maysacham. Loosely translated. V'shal Amma Aretz, if you go to the mitzvah of an Amma Aretz, you know what you're going to find? Doima la'itza balas. It's yontif in the vachin. Rashi says, itza balas is miloshin isa me'urev. This miminim harbe. It's like you have a dough, this pepper, this salt. Setitzach lebedig. What do you mean? Says Rashi. I quote. Vechemitas ha-ma'aretz. Kol dover manichin tachas mitasam. They put everything under their bed. Oichlin, they put their food there. Vekeilim, it's the pantry, it's the refrigerator, it's the store, it's the shed, it's the sukkah. Everything is there. It's all underneath the bed. It's mamish, it's an oitzer bolo, says the Gemara. Sok teshvos Yaakov comes out of Mayur digazach. And Amma Aretz is becheskas that he keeps his food underneath the bed. It's a Mefurish Gemara. It's a Gemara by Vabas, Daf Lecheson Af. Now we know, if you buy Paris from an Amma Aretz, what do you have to do? You have to be Mafra Shumas and Maestris. It's called Demai. Midir Abonon, you have to be concerned that maybe he wasn't Mafra Shumas and Maestris. But once you're Mafra Shumas and Maestris, no worries. Now you can eat it. Now everything is fine. Frank, the Shvus Yaakov, why are you ever allowed to eat food from an Amma Aretz? Why are you worried about what the Gemara says above Vabas, Shumas and Chesam and Aleph? That his Mita is an Oitzer Bolus. He keeps food on this. Bed. If he keeps food under his bed, he's violating the halacha shulchan aruch yeridei asimin kuf tezayin. There's a ruach ra now that shayra on this food. And chamira sakante meisura. So you're worried about the iser, which is a shayla of ma'is roi v'amiyar. It's ma'asrin heim. So you're worried about the chayshina lemiyuta that maybe the amaritz didn't give chumas and ma'is. Freit the heiligus fus Yaakov. What about the sakana? That's even more chamer. What happened to the ruach ra? It's like the vaislis like the Beis Yosef said. Because ruach ra is only an issue when you're dealing on the lekatchila level. But b'di'evet, you never have to worry about a ruach ra. Being that b'di'evet, you never have to worry about a ruach ra, it's for that reason it's not going to be an issue. Another place where this plays itself out in the halacha is that when a person wakes up in the morning, so he has a ruach ra that's shayra on him. Incidentally, the Velt says that after the Ger Tzedek, Avram ben Avram, the famous Ger Tzedek from Vilna, so he was executed, it was the second day Shavuos in the year 1749. So after Avram ben Avram was killed, so the Vilna Gaon said grace hazachin about the neshama of Avram ben Avram, and he said that when he was killed, the spiritual universe changed. Something changed, and the Gaon said that where it played itself out, l'maisa, is that the ruach ra, that shayra on a person, when he wakes up in the morning, before he washes netilas yadayim, is not the same ruach ra that it once was. And I don't quote me on this, but I believe that the Talmidei Hagra don't keep negel vasa next to their bed, because this mesorah from the Vilna Gaon, that the ruach ra is not shayra anymore because of something that happened when the famous Ger Tzedek was killed. But the point is that there's no question, Medina the Shulchan Aruch, for sure, that when a person wakes up in the morning, before he washes negel vasa, there's a ruach ra that's shayra on him. Stating that, the Mishnah Brura says that what happens if a person, so it's for that reason Mishnah Brura says that a person shouldn't touch food before you wash Negel Vasa, because you have the Ruach Ra. What happens if you touch food? Let's say you touch food. Wake up in the morning, you touch food. So you have to throw it out. V'naga b'maychel koydem shenot al yadav, ein leser ha-maychel al yadeza. No. Aval lekatchila, ma'oyed yesh li zoher shloi liga oz b'shem maychel, v'naga b'oychel, and if you touch food, yadichenu, you should wash the food. Gimel Pop. As I state the Mishnah Brura, it's in Hilchas Netilas Yadayim, it's Simben Dalet. But the bottom line is, again, it's the same thing. Because even though there's an issue of Ruach Ra, but Ruach Ra is only on the Lekatchila level. What's the Makar? The Makar is the Beis Yosef and a beautiful Shfus Yaakov who brings a raya from the Gemara and the Sechtes, Bava Basra, Daf Nun Ches Amar Aleph. But just to digress from our digression, and we'll end with this. And that is, that there's a very interesting Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchas Reitzeach, Veshmiras HaNefesh. It's Perik Yud Beis, it's Sif the Rambam brings this halacha. You shouldn't keep food underneath your bed. Even if you're in the middle of eating, never put food underneath your bed. Why? What's the reason? So, what would you say? It's a Ruach Ra, right? Says the Rambam, Shema Yipo by Dover Hamazik, because you're afraid that underneath your bed, you don't really know what's Tutzach Dartin. So how do you know that a Dover Hamazik is not going to go into the food? And you may not be paying attention. So it may be a Dover Shal Sakana. You know what the Sakana is? A Dover Hamazik may fall into the food. Says the Ravid, Gamzer by Yerushalmi, the Makar to this is a Yerushalmi, Umefarshim, not like the Rambam. Mishum Ruach Ra. The Rambam made up a new reason. It's Mishum Sakana, with Sakana. You're worried about a Mazik? It's not a Mazik. The Rambam's making this a practical, a real-life concern. Says the Rav, it's not a real-life concern. The issue is it's Ruach Ra. This is more in the realm of the metaphysical. There's some Ruach that the Goyim said that after the Avram ben Avram, right? These Ruchais, these are things we don't fully understand. Right, Zugais. The Gemara talks a lot about Zugais, but Taisa says in the end of Masechtas Yuma, there's no Zugais anymore today. Right, because some of these things can change. Real sakanas don't change. These things change. But says the Ravid, the Rambam says that you worried Shema Yipo by Dover Amazik for who ain't royeu. That's not the point. The point is it's Mishum Ruach Ra. So what's pshat in the Rambam? What's pshat in the Rambam? So I'll tell you something very interesting. Last week on Friday we spoke at a beautiful tshuva from the Milchas Elazar. We were discussing the Gemara Daf Yud, Chamira Sakanta Meisura, and the Milchas Elazar had a real life story where a woman came to him. She was married Loyalenu three times, and all three of her marriages ended unsuccessfully. Her first husband died. Her second husband, Atzach Geshmat, he went to America and ended up giving her a get. And then the third husband died again. She wanted to get married. The problem is we paskin like Rebbe that once a woman is married twice and both her husbands die, she has a din of a katlanis, and she came in vain to the Heilige Minchas Aluzer. Could you be matter? Is there any way? She was young, she wasn't even 50 years old. The Minchas Aluzer says she was an Ashes Chayil and gives her, right? Is there any way in the world she could get married? The Minchas Aluzer ended up writing this brilliant tshuva where the Minchas Aluzer had two svaras, maybe why there shouldn't be an issue of katlanis. Number one, the Be'er Hetiv says in Siman Tes and Eben Ezer that if it's Beseirugin, if there was a successful marriage in between the two marriages where the husbands die, it could be that doesn't render a person a katlanis, which is what happened over here. The other thing was, if Chassidim says that if a man dies but he left over children, it could be that's a. So he wanted to say maybe it's a svek sveka. He said, but the problem is svek sveka works in this of a heter. But when you're dealing with Chamira Sakanta Misur, this svek sveka doesn't work. So what was the punchline of Minchas Elazar when we ended our tshuva, when we went through this together on Friday? The end of the Minchas Elazar's tshuva was he wanted to invoke the Rambam. The Rambam says a chiddush that the isa katlanis is only on the lekachila level. But if somebody says he doesn't care. He wants to stay. He wants to get married and stay married. We allow him to get married. The Rosh says no, just the opposite. If somebody would marry a Chayvei Lavin, we'd force them to get divorced. Chamira Sakanta Meisura. Certainly, we're going to force them to get divorced. But the Rambam says no, I'm not worried. And they asked the Rambam what's pshat, and the Rambam responded in a tshuva, and the Chassam Sofer wrote a tshuva to explain the Rambam's tshuva, where basically the Rambam said that even though the Gemara says that the reason a katana shouldn't get married is because we're worried about her mazel, the Rambam held that this mazel garam is really all in the person's head. And it's man de kapit kaptina bahade, Lashon HaChassam Sofer, uman de loy kapit, loy kaptina bahade. So to the extent the Rambam held that she's worried, worry can attract scary things. And as a result, says Rambam, oh, you're worried that this is not going to work out? I'm loy yisa. We tell them not to get married. But if this person's okay, the person's not worried, they're happy staying married, then adarabba, let them remain married. He said a davar nifla. He said, even though we don't paskin like this Rambam, but at the same time, I think we can be mitstarif this Rambam with the Sfex Faker and make the following cheshbon. Go over to the woman and say, I want you to know, mi'ikar adin, you have nothing to worry about. You know why? Because the Sfex Faker, and Sfex Faker works, mi'ikar adin. Narvas. But to the extent that she buys the Sfex Faker and she's not worried, so then there will be no sakana. Because it's only a sakana if she's worried. But if she's not worried, there's no sakana. The Sfex Faker should alleviate the worry. Thus, we can rely on the Rambam and we can allow her to get married. That's where we got up to. And he says, I don't think we can rely on this Rambam. He says, you know why? Because if you think about it, this Rambam who said that Mazla Garam is not real, it's all in a person's head, it's Manda Kapit Kapdina Bahadi, Manda Loy Kapit Loy Kapdina Bahadi. To me, this is the Rambam Mushitasa. This is the Rambam who throughout his Yad Chazaka, he was always mefarish things in the most scientific, for lack of a better word, but in the most practical terms, and the Rambam shied away from anything metaphysical, and he brings the Rambam. You know which raya he brings? The Rambam we just learned. He says the Rambam, when it came to this halacha of putting food underneath your bed, says the Minchas Alusa. The Rambam says in Perek Yudei Hilchos Reitzeach that it's nothing to do with a ruach ra. What is it related to? It's related to because it's on your table, you see. But if it's going to be underneath your bed, you're not going to see what falls in it, and as a result, it's something that you have to worry about. The raya was massive on this. What do you mean? It's related to ruach ra. Why didn't the Rambam say Ruach Ra? Says Minchas Lazar, because if you look, the Rambam doesn't bring one halacha in his entire Yad Chazak. In his entire, so you state the Minchas Lazar. Then he doesn't bring one halacha related to Ruach Ra. Many Gemaras that talk about Ruach Ra, but he doesn't bring one. Fakir, he brings this halacha, he doesn't explain it out to Ruach Ra. He explains it based on something else. And this is the Rambam, this is something that is one of the themes in the Rambam Sforim, in the Yad Chazakah, in his Pirush HaMishnayos, in the Mayor Nevoichim. He says, the problem is, do we paskin like that Rambam? See, now that we turned the Rambam of Katlanis into a much bigger Rambam, we made it l'shitasa with all the other Rambams. Do we paskin like that Rambam? So Al Zeh Nemad is on the guy, and the Mechazah quotes the guy, and this is the guy in Yeridea. It's in Hilchas Ma'inenu Mechashes. It's Simin Kuf Ayin Tes, and the Vilna Gaon over there brings the Rambam who says that Kishuf Shemois Lechoshem incantations Shedem and Kameos Hakol Hu Sheker. That's what the Rambam said. The Rambam held that it wasn't true. Right? The Rambam, whenever he talks about the Oyvdei Avodah Zarah, he calls them Shaitim and people that are Oisik in Havle Avodah Zarah. Kishuf, the Rambam referred to as being Hevel. The Ramban throughout his Pirush Al Torah explained scientifically exactly how Kishuf worked and how Avodah Zarah worked. In the Ramban's world, it wasn't Shtosim. It was very, very real. These are real Kaichas. But the Rambam always spoke that way. He said that people that Oyvdei Avodah Zarah, they're fools. That's the way the Rambam understood it. Regardless, what did the Gaon say about the Rambam? He said that the reason the Rambam wrote this is because he was Nimshach after the philosophy of Aristotle, and it influenced him on some level. Again, we can never say this, but the Vilna Gaon said this, and he said that's where this came from. But he says Kfar Hiku Oisei Al Katkadoi and Chalil Abadet Alach is not like the Rambam. So it says the Minchas Alusa, if that's the case, how can I rely on this Rambam? To me, the Rambam of Katlanis is the same Rambam as the Rambam who doesn't want to learn that the food underneath your bed is the Ruach Ra. It's the same Rambam who thinks that Avodah Zarah and Kishuf and all these things are just, they're ridiculous. It's people that lived in the dark ages. It's what they believe, but really it's not true. L'chaira, if that's the case, we don't pass like the Rambam, because we know the Vilna Gaon spoke so sharply against that Shitas HaRambam. And if they're all the same, that the Rambam didn't believe in the metaphysical, if you can't touch it, then the Rambam was always trying to make sense of it in a more practical way. Then l'chaira, how could I be mata this Eishas or this Katlanis? How could I allow this woman to get married based on that Rambam Shita? But then the Michas Lazar says that I believe that the Tzakon of Katlanis is different, because he brings the Trumas Hadeshin says that there were many Katlanises throughout the ages that got married, and they were Mayruch Yomim V'Shanim. They were Mayruch Yomim V'Shanim. So he said, what's the pshat? He says, Namanim Divrei Chazal. If Chazal said Mazla Gar when it comes to a Katlanis, then how is it possible that the Trumas Hadeshin could say Eidos that technically is being Makhish Divrei Chazal? It's not possible. Says, because you have to say that the Rambam was right as it relates to Katlanis. As it relates to everything else, I hear it. That's the Vilna Gaon's kasha. That's way above our pay grade. But the bottom line is, right, Kiyudua, I found once Rabbi Yashiv, one of his svarim, brings this lashon that the Vilna Gaon says, and then he writes there, he says that when you understand and appreciate the kavod that the Vilna Gaon had for the Rambam, it's so out of character. What the Vilna Gaon said over there in his Bir Agron Simen Kufay and Tess. I mean, we're talking about the Vilna Gaon and the Rambam, and we don't understand these things. But the point is, it says the Minchas Alaza that even though we don't paskin like that Rambam, based on what the Vilna Gaon said, but as it relates to Katlanis, the only way to reconcile the Eidos of the Trumas Hadeshe and what Chazal said is by accepting what the Rambam said. That Katlanis is a Davar Shel Sakana, but only if a person views it as a davar shel sakana. If he doesn't view it as a davar shel sakana, it's like Chazal say, man de kapit kaptina badeh, right? The Babich Rebbe used to say, trach gut vet zayn gut. There's a Makar. The Makar is the Rambam. The Rambam says that what the Gemara says in Psachim, and the copy, Kaptina Bahadi regarding Zugais, the Chassam Sofer said it to explain this Rambam regarding Katlanis. It's true about a lot of things. Ayin Shom, the Minchas Laz is a beautiful truva. It's, again, Chelik Bey, Simen, Ayin Vav. Regardless, we'll stop here.